Jesus is getting us together. Come and see. Did anyone notice that word in the song? One of the words that's used the most in that song? It stood out to me. Not Jesus. I mean, Jesus stands out to me. But I like the word together. Amen. Do you notice how many times that word is used? Together. Jesus is getting us together. That's a really significant word in this song. Amen. And also in this line that we're in. We're in a new station. This is a line, a new session. If you turn to the second morning session, let's all read the title together, the second morning session. Practicing the twos and threes. Pursuing Christ in two or threes. Pursuing Christ, and let's insert the word together. Pursuing Christ together in twos or threes. So why do we care so much about twos or threes? If you were at some of the last college trainings, you probably remember some of these messages. Why? Because we love the twos and threes. Amen. Why? Because this is a principle that the Lord has established. Amen. It's the principle of the body of Christ. Amen. And actually, this way is really our salvation. Amen. And this way is going to preserve and maintain and uphold everything that you receive in this training. You might take a lot of notes. You might receive a lot of inspiration. But without the twos or threes, it could all evaporate. So we care so much about the twos and the threes. And we want you to be able to take back this awesome practice to your campus, to your church life, wherever you are, to maintain and work out and practice everything that we're enjoying. Amen. So praise the Lord for the twos and threes. And I also liked in this song, there was this word that stuck out to me. With all saints, we can apprehend. Just real quick, what's a quick definition of apprehend? You can just throw it out. Understand, right? I can understand, discern, grasp. I like that better. Grasp. We can apprehend. I think apprehend. okay, Bobby, stand up. And what if I said, Jordan, you stand up too. What if I said, Jordan, just apprehend Bobby. Just do it. No, if I, you know, what would you think if I just apprehend him? Just do it. Just apprehend him. It might be, yeah, you could try, and you might. You might apprehend him, but what if I said, Martin's and Israel stand up too? What if I said, brothers, apprehend Bobby, you know? Jordan, how would you feel now? You feel better? You feel like you can apprehend Bobby a little bit? You three brothers, turn around. Everyone see the brothers. You can apprehend, this is a twos or threes. Together, they can apprehend Bobby, of course. Okay, thank you. But actually, you know who we are apprehending is a wonderful, unsearchably rich, marvelous, unlimited person. Amen. Not just Bobby, but Christ. Amen. And in Ephesians, it says he is unsearchably rich. Unsearchably rich. How can we apprehend him unless we have others? How could we apprehend the Lord unless we have others? So I just appreciate to apprehend Christ, not only in this training, because we will practice the twos and threes in the afternoon. Every afternoon we'll practice. But to apprehend Christ, you need a companion. It's not just a matter of personally apprehending him, because I can a little bit, right? Sure, we can personally apprehend Christ. But if you want more, do you want more? Amen. Don't you want to apprehend Christ more? Amen. You need a companion. And not just one, but you need two or three. So I appreciate this. Let's read the first Roman numeral all together. The best way for the young brothers. Amen. Amen. Did you guys catch that first phrase? The best way.
Amen.
The best way. That always sticks out to me when someone says, this is the best way. I always look for the best way. Whenever I'm looking for something, I Google it. I look on Yelp. I want the best. I don't trust my own opinion all the time, okay? So you might think you have the best way to follow the Lord and to gain Him, but this, it says the best way, the best way. So sure, we can have personal experiences, but don't you want the best way? In every field, we want the best way, right? You search for the best way as you study. If you're always making D's on your test, don't you think there's another way? There could be another way. Just, maybe I should study another way, you know? So you might experience and enjoy Christ, undoubtedly, to some extent. But do you want to experience and enjoy Him more?
Amen.
Okay, so let's open to this way. Let's just open for the brothers and sisters to experience Christ. Is to find at least two or three companions in the Lord. So why is this the best way? Well, I appreciate this in the context of the first verse, 2 Timothy 2:22. Who knows this verse? Does anyone know the first word of this verse?
Flee.
Flee. But flee. The first word I was thinking, flee. But flee. Youthful lust. This is a key, monumental verse, right?
Yes.
We enjoy this verse so much because this speaks directly to us. And it says, but flee youthful lusts. We all know what youthful lusts are, right? If you're on a college campus, you know what they are. If you live in a dorm, you know what they are. There's a way to flee. In the Old Testament, Joseph was approached by a Potiphar's wife, right? That was an improper situation. And you know how he responded? He fled.
Amen.
He got out.
Amen.
He didn't say, let's reason. Let's talk about this, you know? He just left. He fled.
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, I appreciate there's more to this verse. It doesn't just say, but flee youthful lust. What if that's all it said? It says, but flee youthful lust.
And pursue.
Let's say that stronger. But flee youthful lust.
And pursue.
And pursue. And pursue. So how do we flee? By pursuing.
Amen.
We flee by pursuing. And I appreciate it. So the key to fleeing is to pursue. How can you pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace? How can you pursue those things? There's another key with those. So there were three words in the last session, right? Heavens, earth, spirit. Amen. How about three more words? Flee, pursue, with those. Compound. Let's say it all together. Flee! Pursue with those. Amen. Praise the Lord for these three awesome keys, okay? And we'd like to... there's some wonderful examples of how we can do this. Let's go to the outline. And we're just going to cover a couple examples, and I'm going to tag team this message, so I'll sit down in a minute, but... let's read the first example. Examples in the Old Testament, let's read number one all together. Joshua and Caleb. So you're probably familiar with this story. We want to give some examples. But this is one case in the Old Testament. But Joshua and Caleb, they at least were companions when they were sent out with the spies into the good land. They may have known each other before, but at least they were companions. And there's a verse in Numbers, and Jehovah spoke to Moses, and he said, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. That's a key phrase. He said, which I am giving to the children of Israel. That's like a promise, right?
Right.
And If you consider, how did they come back, the spies, the majority of them? There was an evil response in the majority of them. 10 of them had an evil response, and only Joshua and Caleb had a positive response. So there was a promise. The Lord said, I'm giving it to them. Amen. I'm giving you the good land. But then they said, no, there's Nephilim. There's the children of Anak. They're so big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Right? They said that. They just felt so, it's like they didn't hear God's promise. And they said, we're so small. And we might have that. We might experience that. You know, you leave the college training. It was awesome. I experienced so much of Christ. And then you get back home to your campus, and you might be discouraged. It happens. You might be discouraged, and you say, the brothers just don't know what my campus is like. They haven't seen UGA. They don't know. You know? So they had a heart of disbelief. And in Hebrews, it even calls this an evil heart of disbelief. And so what happened? Caleb, there was one who rose up.
Amen.
His name was Caleb.
Amen.
You know what he said? He said, we are well able to possess it.
Amen.
You know what? And so this shows Caleb was actually a particular kind of companion to Joshua. He was, this is the emphasis. Caleb was a particular kind of companion. He was the kind of companion that stood against disbelief. Do you have a companion like that? Someone who stands against disbelief? What if you go back and you're encouraged after the college training to start the twos or threes, but you open to someone, they're like, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, that is a companion of unbelief. You don't want that. But we want someone who stands against that.
Amen.
So we get back, and you're discouraged, but the brothers say, no, Michael, we can do this.
Amen.
Be encouraged, brother.
Amen.
Right? We want that. We want a companion like that. I've been a companion of disbelief before. The brothers asked me to go on the gospel. One time we were at a Waffle House, and I said, we were leaving, and it was a table of kids. And he was like, let's go preach the gospel. And I was like, you know, we had just paid. I was like, I thought we're leaving. And I just didn't believe that they were open. They looked wild. And I was a companion of unbelief at that time. Sorry. Forgive me, Lord. But we went anyway. I said, okay, I'll go with you. And he spoke to them, and one got saved.
Wow.
Someone got saved.
Wow.
I don't know how, but someone got saved. He just, everyone else was just talking, and we zeroed in on this one. And it was a big booth, and this one got saved. Crazy. It's like no one else was there. So we need companions like this. What if someone wants to read the Bible with you and you say, I just don't have enough time. You know, Lord, give us companions.
Amen.
That would stand against unbelief.
Amen.
Okay, the next case is David and Jonathan. And you guys know, you know, there was a situation. The children of Israel eventually wanted a king, right? And so the Lord gave them a king, and this king wasn't that good, Saul, and he mainly did things for himself. And so his kingdom was taken away, and David was anointed to be king, and he was the top king. He was a man after God's heart.
Amen.
And it actually says, after he was anointed to be king, eventually things happened, and Saul wanted to kill him. At some point. So he was in a strange position because Jonathan became his companion. And you know who Jonathan was, right?
Yes.
Saul's son. How would you like to be friends with the son of someone trying to kill you? But 1 Samuel 18:1 says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan became knit with the soul of David.
Wow.
Isn't that intimate?
Amen.
And this is better. He says, and Jonathan loved him like his own soul. Wow. And guess what this footnote says in the next chapter, 1 Samuel 19:2, note 1 says, in that note, this is amazing. It says, the Lord gave Jonathan as a provision to him to help him to flee. Do you know that word is in there? The Lord gave Jonathan to him as a provision to help him to flee. Did you know you need companions not just to pursue, but you need companions to help you to flee? Praise the Lord for that. We need companions to help us to flee. So we need to see our companions can be who stand against unbelief, companions who help us to flee as a provision from the Lord. And the last example from the Old Testament is with Daniel, okay? And you probably know this story. Daniel has three companions. Who knows their names? Their names? Nope, the good names. Hananiah, we're looking for the names given by God. Azariah, Mishael. These names are good because they point to God. We care about these names. Not the names of gods, but the names that point to God. So their situation wasn't good either. They were taken over, and they were given new names. So it's like saying, Carlos, your name is George. And Tony, your name is Charles. And Jordan, you're Winston. So you have new names, and you are in a new place. And how would you like being... Things were actually coming at them in a very negative way. And what happened was King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and maybe he forgot the dream, maybe not, but he wanted to test the wise men, who can tell me the dream, tell me the interpretation. And no one can do this, right? And so the wise men all gathered, and they said, okay, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. And he said, no, you tell me the dream and the interpretation. And they even asked him a second time. They're like, okay, tell us the dream. We'll tell you the interpretation. No. But he said, okay, you don't know the dream. You don't know the interpretation. You're all dead. You're all going to be killed, right? What did Daniel do when this happened? Did it say he went and he prayed as a man of God? No. In Daniel 2, it says, right after this happened, it says, then Daniel went to his house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He just made it known. He made it known that they might request compassions from before God, from before the God of the heavens concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of the heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that was kind of like an impossible situation, right? To have a dream. Your life is on the line. Anyway, you may not run into something to that degree, but we all have impossible situations. We just do. And it could be about a class. It could be concerning a relative that you want to be saved and you think they'll never receive the Lord, right? Or a personal situation. But the fact is, we need companions.
Amen.
To make impossible situations possible.
Amen.
And it was just through opening to them. He just opened the matter to the companions.
Amen.
And the situation that was impossible became possible.
Amen.
So these are three ways. Companions to help us from unbelief, for our provision to flee, and to pray for impossible things, right?
Amen.
Just try to find a companion and exercise one of these ways. This will really save us. This will really save us. Okay, examples in the New Testament. We can just read through these together, okay? One, Jesus sent out his disciples in groups of two. Peter and John went out together. Paul and Barnabas, Timothy and Luke as companions. Amen. Praise the Lord for companions. In the New Testament, there's so many more examples. Bobby will give us a couple.
Okay, how about everyone stand up? Because I know you're tired. Because I'm tired. You know, when I walked into the cafeteria this morning, the first thing on my left was the donuts. Luckily, a brother showed me where the omelets were. But how about, you know, really what we want to impress you with this morning, you know, this is a line of practice. And then, you know, we have a line of vision. That'll be tonight. You'll receive the vision. But these other lines, actually every line has a little bit of vision to it, but it's really practice. And what we want to give you is really handles so that when you leave the training, you'll have a way to enter into the vision.
Amen.
And stay in the vision. So how about just this first message, the handle is real simple. We just want to impress you with your need for a companion. So how about you just turn to your neighbor and just say, neighbor, I need a companion. All right, turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I need a companion. Okay, now point to yourself and say, you need a companion. You need a companion. Okay, so don't forget that. That's the handle, okay? If you forget everything else, don't forget that. You need a companion. And so you can sit down. Did that help a little bit? Okay. So anyways, you know, the lines, we're talking about vision, like we talked about the vision. So, you know, last message I really appreciated, we talked about revelation. And so in every meeting, every message, there's a little bit of revelation. It's the opening of this veil. Did you get that? It's kind of like there's a veil covering up the scenery, the scene. So how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? I'm from Arizona. I love the Grand Canyon. Okay, when you see the Grand Canyon, doesn't that vision like arrest you? Right? You know what I mean by arrest? It's like, you can't believe that this is real. And it kind of stops you in your tracks. I mean, you should stop when you're looking at the Grand Canyon because you'll probably walk into it. But that vision is just magnificent. If you haven't been to the Grand Canyon, go to the Grand Canyon. You'll believe there is a God because it's just wonderful. But anyways, you know, you have this vision, but say this vision is just covered up. And then, you know, every meeting is like that. There's this vision, but every meeting we're rolling away, rolling away, rolling away until that vision is there. And then you see that vision, and this vision has the power to arrest you. And that means to stop you. Maybe you're going in a certain direction, right? And you see the vision, and the vision just stops you in your tracks. And it even has the ability to change your direction for the rest of your life and to govern you. So that's, you know, that's kind of what we're hopeful of this weekend, is that you will be arrested. Not in a bad sense, in a good sense. You will be arrested by this vision. So anyways, when we talk about this, I'm not an artist, but here's like a tree. All right, these are roots. And this is the trunk of the tree. And so we would say, we have this, and we'll get into this in the messages, is God's economy. Right? This is like God's plan, God's arrangement to bring us into this vision. So just GE, God's economy. But, you know, what is a tree without branches, right? Doesn't a tree need an expression? Where is that expression? It's all up here, right? And this, we have a term for this. This is what we call the God-ordained way. So I'll just put G-O-W. And so, you know, in the Bible, God's economy is revealed, his plan, his arrangement. But also what's revealed in the Bible is an ordained way, a way that God ordained to carry out this vision. And that's so that that vision is not just something that we know about and we appreciate, but it's something that we can actually practice, and it's something of an expression. So this is what we need both, right? We need to be people of vision.
Amen.
Do you want to be a person of vision?
Yeah.
Right? But we also need to be people of practice, right? So it's not good enough to just have vision. You know, a lot of times we come and we really appreciate the trainings, the messages, and it's real easy just to appreciate those things, but it doesn't affect you in your daily living. There's no expression. So you come back from the training and nobody knows that you're different because there's no practice. But it's also easy to be on the other side, is I just want to practice, but I have no vision and I don't really care about vision. But we want to be balanced persons, right? So we want vision. We want practice. So can I have maybe the brothers stand up? Turn to Ephesians 3:18. So in order to enter into the vision, you know what we need to do? We need to experience Christ.
Amen.
Let's all say that together. I need to experience Christ.
I need to experience Christ.
Right. Okay, so, and the title of this message, or that first point, right? The best way for the young brothers and sisters to what? Experience Christ is to find at least two or three companions. So how about the brothers stand up? You should pay attention. You'll probably have to memorize this verse. I can't remember if it's on the sheet, but probably. Ephesians 3:18. But how about you go ahead and read that, brothers?
May he be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are.
Right. So you can sit down. So, you know, this person, as Mark brought out, you know, this person is vast and limitless. You know, Ephesians also talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
And there's a breadth to this person, a length, height, a depth. And actually, these dimensions, they're really just the dimensions of the universe. I mean, you really have to understand the universe to really be able to begin to fathom this wonderful person. But you know what that means is that no one can experience Christ alone. Right? It's impossible for us to experience Christ alone. So, you know, just think about it. Think about the ocean. How much water is in the ocean? I looked it up. I couldn't say the number, so I had to look up how you say. You know, there's a website where you can punch in the number, and it tells you how to say the number. So it's 356 quintillion gallons. I didn't even know what that is. But that's the ocean, right? So just imagine, it's like, you know, that's like Christ, right? He's the ocean. And you're like a bucket, a gallon-sized bucket, right? So how many people are there on the earth? 6-7 billion, right? Well, this is quintillion, you know, 356 quintillion. How much water, how immeasurable, how vast is this Christ, right? So that's why we have the body and the church life, and that's why we have companions, is so that we can even begin to apprehend this wonderful person, to grasp him and to lay hold of him. So we really want to impress you is that you have a need for others, right? You can only experience Christ, and you can experience Christ alone in a very limited way. And actually, by getting together with one other person, it seems, this is our experience, is that your apprehension and your grasp and your appreciation of this person is just magnified, manifold. And so we can't experience Christ alone. So I like to ask questions. So what book in the Bible in the New Testament talks about experiencing Christ? What? Philippians, right? That's the subject of Philippians, right? It starts with experiencing Christ. And what is, in Philippians 3, Paul talks in two verses, he talks about pursuing Christ, right? And actually that word pursue is like persecute Christ. Like, I won't let him go. Even if he's bothered by me, I won't let him go. So, you know this book, Philippians, right? Who wrote Philippians? Paul wrote Philippians? Okay, who has a New Testament recovery version? You do. Okay, right here. Who's the author of Philippians? Say it loud.
Paul with Timothy.
Read the first verse in Philippians.
Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. Right. All the saints in
Christ Jesus. Wow. Who wrote the book on experiencing Christ?
Paul with Timothy.
So do you realize in order for Paul to talk about experiencing Christ, he needed somebody else? Paul needed Timothy. Paul with Timothy wrote about experiencing Christ. So anyways, we just want to impress you. You need, in order to properly and adequately experience Christ, you need others. You need companions. So let's read this second Roman numeral together. Go ahead. right? So really, one thing with having a companion, it's really a benefit to us. And actually, these are just some of the benefits that companions are to us. But I really like some of these definitions on these words here. You know, in the Bible, you know, when the Lord sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two. And then even, you know, there's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it says in order to bring some kind of accusation against somebody, this is God's ordained way. Because you couldn't do it by yourself, right? You could accuse somebody, but if you want to accuse them, you need by the mouth of two or three witnesses, is what it says. So you can accuse people, but you better have two or three witnesses with you. So you need witness, testimony. I like this, complement. You know what the word complement means? It means fill up, complete, made perfect. So you should have the sense, you know, by yourself, I'm not complete. By myself, I'm not perfect. I need somebody else. I like this match. You know, this is really, you know, this line is on the gospel. It's related to our service. And so this word match was really related to service. So, you know, do you know about Apollos in the book of Acts? He was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. And he was going out and he was preaching the gospel. And he was actually refuting the Jews because he knew the word so well. But there came a point when Paul came and he asked the people that Apollos had just preached the gospel. He's like, have you heard of the Spirit? Or what were you baptized into? You know, were you baptized into John's baptism or into the Spirit? And the people said, well, we didn't even know there was a Spirit. And you know, this is one thing, this was a deficiency in Apollos' ministry. And the reason there was a deficiency is Apollos wasn't matched. Until Aquila, Priscilla came to him and they made him clear. Eventually he got matched and he was very useful to the Lord. So even when we're going out to preach the gospel, to speak with people, to take care of people, we should realize, I need to be matched.
Amen.
Let me read you this. It says, the arrangements God makes in matching us with others sometimes are beyond our understanding. Do not think a match will always be pleasant. Most of the time, it may be enjoyable, but at least part of the time, it will be unpleasant. But this pleasant unpleasantness is our protection. So really, to be matched with somebody, it's restricting, right? I can't do what I want to do, or I got to go somewhere they want to go, right? That was a little bit of a restriction for you. I can't just leave and go home. I have to go and speak to this person, right? It's a little bit of a restriction, but actually that's a protection to us to be matched with somebody. I like this, partnership and companionship. So this word partnership is just to work together to do business, right? So we're doing business. The Lord is a businessman and he's charged us. Do business until I come. But in order to do business, we shouldn't think that that's alone. You know, we shouldn't think even with the gospel that I need to preach the gospel by myself, you know, or I need to read the Bible by myself, or I need to do morning revival and build up this habit by myself. You know, a brother, he shared with me one time with morning revival. It's not that, you know, that you don't have to have a personal morning revival, but he shared what the brothers would do is they would meet up at a park. And then they would all, you know, this is their companionship. And they would get together, and then they would all split up and go do their morning revival. But that was their way of making sure, and a kind of an accountability to help each other to do morning revival. I like this, mutual help and support. You know, here's another example of companions in the New Testament was, do you know the story in Mark chapter 2? There's a story of the lame man, and his four companions were trying to bring him to the Lord, you know, and they couldn't get through. So there was kind of this wild act. I don't know how they did it. They climbed on top of the crowd and then got on the roof, and they opened up the roof, and they brought this person to the Lord, and the Lord healed this man. But do you ever feel that way? You know, to be lame just means you can't move towards the Lord. You know, this man, he probably wanted to move towards the Lord. Do you ever have that feeling? I want to move to the Lord. I want to have morning revival. I want to read the Bible. I want to preach the gospel. I think we all have that aspiration. But a lot of times we're just lame. Lame in the sense that we can't move. It's lame that we don't read the Bible, but we're lame towards the Lord. But sometimes we just need people to help us. Amen. And to kind of a wild act to help you to read the Bible, to preach the gospel. So you need companions. Amen. How about sisters? Can you stand up and read those verses from Ecclesiastes 4, 10 through 12? Go ahead. So, you know, a lot of us, some of us just have like spiritual bones. I don't know what you call it. Like you just, maybe spiritual things aren't too difficult for you. But some of us have a tendency, a propensity to fall, right? We're just that way. And so for us, you know, you need two or three companions, but you know, some of us need 10 or 12 companions on all sides to make sure we don't fall. We need companions on all levels, right? You should have some older ones. You should have some that are on your level. And even to have some younger ones. Actually, those younger ones as companions, they'll probably help you the most, right? So anyways, you know, there's this story, you know, when the Lord, he resurrected and there was these two disciples and they were walking down. It says they were walking down to Emmaus. And so actually, their walking down was not a good thing. Do you ever feel like you're walking down? Well, these disciples were blessed because they were together, right? There was two of them. At least they were walking down together. And another thing I really appreciated is that they brought the Lord into their midst. And then it says, wasn't our heart burning when he was amongst us? And eventually, they're back in Jerusalem where they should have been, right? So blessed are you if you're prone to fall and you have many companions, right? For you will experience the Lord. So I just really appreciate these examples. It's like we have positive examples, negative examples in the Bible. But the point is, we need to have companions. We need some that will keep us from falling. Let's read A, brothers on A, sisters on B. Right, so this is even how the triune God works to bring the repenting sinner back to himself. And I really appreciate this parable in Luke 15. You know, usually when we talk about the triune God, who do we list first? Father, and then, okay. But the parables in Luke 15 begin with Son, Father, right? Because this is our experience. And so in our experience, in an outward way, the Lord came as the shepherd to find us. Amen. You know where he found us? He found us at the cross. Through his redemptive death, that was his finding of us. Amen. And then somebody came with the lamp. And what's the lamp in the Bible? Spirit. Your spirit. And what else is a lamp in the Bible? The word, right? So somebody came and spoke the word to us. That's the lamp. There was some shining. And then the spirit's there sweeping in the repenting sinner. This is our experience, right? So the Son, he accomplished redemption to find us. The Son, the Spirit came as somebody was speaking the word to us to sweep within us. And what did the Father do? He received us back to himself. And so these three work together to bring the repenting sinner back to himself. So I like this verse in Ephesians 2:18. It's the same thing. It's the Son through him in one spirit. We have access unto the Father. So really, these three work together to bring us into the Father.
Amen.
How about three? We read that together. How about A, sisters?
The most basic way to meet with the saints in a local church is by having meetings in twos or threes.
One, brothers.
Meetings of the believers are initiated by the Lord, who calls the believers out of all persons, matters, and things that occupy them, and gathers them together into his name to enjoy the riches of his presence.
And two, sisters.
Because the name denotes a person, to be gathered together into the Lord's name is to be gathered together into his person.
All together on B.
If two or three are fully in one accord, the Lord will be in their midst and will answer their prayer.
Right. So just hear this point one. I really appreciate it. You know, the Lord, he calls the believers out of all persons, matters, and things that occupy them and gathers them together into his name to enjoy the riches of his presence. And so, you know, with you as young people today, you're on the campus, and probably for the first time, I don't know, younger people, maybe they're bothered by things that are happening in society, but usually when you're a kid and you're not in college, all you care about is like, when am I going to play basketball? Or, when am I going to be done with high school? You're not bothered. That's why college is such a special time in a young person's life, and everyone realizes it. All the businesses realize it. All the political parties realize it. All the every entity realizes, like, young people, especially college age, they're a special group of people, right? And if we can reach these people at this turning point in their life, we can gain them for the rest of their lives. And that's why they're such a, you're kind of a target. I mean, you're our target. There's that, we're not hiding that. You're our target. We're really trying to impart a certain vision into you that will govern you for the rest of your life. So that's not a secret. But, you know, even, you know, Satan's the same way. He really knows that you're at a specific time in your life where you're developing a lot of your concepts, philosophies, ways of thinking, ways of living for the rest of your life. So, you know, what's going on? I mean, if you just read the news, there's a lot of social issues out there, right? And there's a lot of things happening in our society, and they're not so pleasant, right? And actually, I'm always perplexed because it's like one bad thing happens, you're like, wow, that's really terrible. And then something else is like, wow, that's the worst. And then it's like the next week, right? That's what's kind of been happening this month. It's like the next week is something even more horrific happens, right? And so a lot of times we get stirred up, right, to respond to those things. And especially in this age, what's one way, what's probably the way that most people are responding nowadays? Social media, right? It's like everyone wants to give their opinion about the issue, right? And so you got to realize that it can be a real trap for you to get too involved in these issues and to have your time stolen away, right? And so it doesn't mean, should you care about those issues? Right, you should care about injustice, and you should care about inequality, and you should care about the wickedness that's happening, violence, and you should care about, you should have a feeling about that. You know, in Matthew it says, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. Right? So you're blessed if you thirst and you hunger for righteousness. But you know, really, what's the solution to those problems? Is really to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
That's the unique solution. And so really to get involved in just in any social issue too much can be a real trap to occupy you. and to draw you out. And actually, the real, I really appreciated this and related to the twos and threes. Actually, we're believers. We're different. And so a believer is, you know, in the Bible, it's a stranger. You know, it's an alien. It's a saint. You know, we use this term saint. Do you know what saint means? It's literally one who's being sanctified. It's an uncommon person. Meaning that our response as believers shouldn't be the same as an unbeliever. Right? And so, a lot of times you hear about the issue and it's like, well, I'm going to take to social media, I'm going to protest, and nobody can tell the difference in your response. But actually, our response should be different related to the twos. And if we see this matter of the twos and threes and the importance of twos and threes, what should you do when you're bothered by injustice, inequality, unfairness, you know, all the travesties in the world? It's actually, you should get with your companion. Amen. And you should pray for the Lord to come back.
Amen.
You know, in this age, you know, the Bible in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, it calls it, we're talking about the revelation of the mystery. And Ephesians will eventually get to the great mystery, which is Christ in the church. But there's another mystery in 2 Thessalonians. It's called the mystery of lawlessness. Right? Let me just read you these verses. So I'm going to stop right now. But let me see where it is. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 9. Let me read this to you. For it is the mystery of lawlessness that is now operating, but only until the one now restraining goes out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay by the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing, and I like this, by the manifestation of his coming. So what deals with the mystery of lawlessness? The manifestation of his coming. So brothers and sisters, just end with this, as believers, as strangers, as saints, we're different.
Amen.
And don't be ashamed to be different. And we should pray. We should get with our companions when we see these things. Instead of taking the social media, you know, we should get with our companions to pray. Pray for the manifestation of his coming.
Amen.
Pray for the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
This is how you deal with all the social issues.
Amen.
This is, you know, when the Lord comes back, he restores all things. And he deals, he clears up the situation. So praise the Lord. Don't you want this?
Amen.
Don't you want to be this kind of person?
Amen.
Don't you want to be a person who brings the Lord back?
Amen.
Well, it's real simple. You need vision, right? And what else do you need?
Okay.
Yeah, you need practice with your companions.
Amen.
You just need to get together and, you know, kind of the main thing that companions do, I mean, we should get in the Word together, help each other, open to one another. But really, what we really need to do is pray. And I'm going to read something, and I'll just end with this. I like this as far as benefits. It says, the best way to have spiritual growth and receive spiritual benefit is to find a few brothers and sisters to be our spiritual companions so that we can open to one another, seek one another, help one another, and solve one another's problems in all spiritual things.
Amen.
So here again, the best way. Brothers and sisters, let's take the best way.
Amen.
Let's find some spiritual companions, and let's bring the Lord back.
Amen.
How about we pray with our neighbor for about a minute? Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we realize that you all need opportunity to respond to what you're hearing, and we're very burdened that you will have it. However, we did have some specific fellowship that today, because of the shortened schedule, it's good that the brothers had the time to release their burden. We anticipate tonight you'll have ample time to speak, respond about something that you're hearing. And we would really encourage everyone to pick up the opportunity, even the... this is another aspect of our training, right? To speak for the Lord. So anyway, be considering what you might share, and we'll try to give everyone opportunity. Okay, so anyway, now we're about to have lunch. And so today we're going to have a little bit more fellowship about lunch. We'll have to have less as the week goes on. But just to get us started, pull out your schedule. Look at this quickly with me on the purple sheet. Today, we have lunch from noon until it says 12:45. Anyway, somewhere between 12:45 and 1, we're going to start to gather back together. So we're going to be eating in this room, but around that point in time, we'll be cleaning up our stuff, throwing that away, and gathering back, and probably we'll have some singing, something like this, to kind of transition to this next period where we'll have some fellowship for a little while related to the gospel. Okay? So just know that that's what's going to be happening, and if you start hearing guitars and singing after lunch, that's why, and that's kind of a cue to just start cleaning up. Okay, related to the schedule, then at 2:45, we'll have a rest time, and very likely we'll actually go and have a rest time early. We would encourage everyone to really take advantage. Be quiet in the dorms. Be considerate of others. Get a nap if you need it. Okay, then at 4 o'clock, you will group. We'll have our group time. Here it says group time. You'll group up actually in your dorm. And you may not realize it yet, but basically everyone who's in your group, I don't know if your group is Mystery or Revelation, whatever the name is, but that's more or less who's right next to you and across the hall. It's on your, yeah, it's on your sticker, on your book. So anyway, that's going to happen at 4. Your group leaders will be with you. They'll take attendance at 4 and then again at 4:50. There's a handout in your sheet, for sure, if you're a group leader, that kind of tells you how you're going to spend that time together. It gives you some instruction. So look at that. But anyway, that'll happen at 4 and 4:50 attendance. And then at 5:30, the serving ones will... Actually, at 5:15, the serving ones will leave and come back here. And then we'll gather for a little prayer and fellowship here before dinner. The rest of the students will be back here by 6 o'clock for dinner. Does that make sense? So you start your group time basically at 4. Serving ones leave at 5:15 to come back here and start praying at 5:30. And then you are here by 6 for dinner. Okay, is that clear? Okay, music service. Those who are serving on music or who can serve on music, please meet by the piano over here right after this meeting. Related to what I shared earlier, you may not have been anticipating this, but if you served on music this morning, we need you again at 1 o'clock to help us. So just be ready for that. Okay, service schedule. We have it posted on the wall around the hall in various places, over there, three places in the back there. Throughout the week, we'll just take turns cleaning up, okay? The cleaning supplies are in the windowsill that's near the service office window over there. Trash bags are on the kitchen counter. If you're assigned to trash, please make sure and get all of the trash outside the building and into a trash can. Sometimes we just pile it up there, but let's not do that. Okay, so don't put that on the ground. Now, for service schedule, this is important because these people get to eat first. Okay, lunch service. If you're in room 857, where are you? Stand up. 857. If you're in room 955, 857, 955, 955. Okay. Okay, there you are. 957. It's probably sisters. Stay up. Okay. And 835, room 835, 946. 946, sisters. Great. Okay, 937. 937. Okay, and your roommate, whoever that is. Okay, and 837. Who's in 837, a brother? Okay. Okay, so if your room is called, you have service immediately following lunch. After lunch, okay? Your service assignment is on the schedule on both sides of the door, so you have to go find out what that is. Check with registration if you have any questions, okay? So you guys will be dismissed first to eat, okay? Dinner service tonight, you guys can sit down. 858, who are you? Brothers, 858, there's one of you. Okay, great. And then 929, okay? And then 928. Who's 928? It's sisters. Maybe they're already outside. 928? That's you? Okay, good. You can be their representative. If you're not 928, you have to find 928. Or are you 928? Okay, you have dinner service tonight. So check. Go ahead and check before you leave what you're doing. This building will be locked, thank you, from 2:30 until 5:30. So don't leave your personal belongings here. Basically, take them with you back to the dorm. Lunch is going to be served outside on these tables, and we're going to do it this way. Brothers are going to go out the side door over here by the bathrooms. So you just line up and go that way, come across. The sisters are going to go the other way through the kitchen doors. So out these double doors, wrap around the building, and you'll all be coming together this way, and you can come back in the double doors. So consider those double doors kind of like one way, right, for lunch purpose. Otherwise, it's a big bottleneck. If you'd like to eat upstairs over here, sisters, the way to go is through that exterior door on the corner of the building. So don't go through the service office. You can eat in the chairs in this room, but there are tables that are set up on both sides. So brothers over here, sisters over here. Please clean up after yourself. Do not leave trash in your eating area, wherever that is. Okay? Yeah, amen. There are two trash cans and recycle bins in two locations. You have two outside and one inside. So just know trash and recycling both inside and out. I think that is it. Any questions before we dismiss about this? Okay, so we're back together here sometime before 1 for some fellowship. Okay? Amen.